B-Pod Studios.
Stop the press. Stop the press. Who is that?
Boy, I don't know.
Vicki Vale. Vicki Vale.
Boy, I don't know.
I like Batman.
Boy, I don't know.
Hi. Bruce Wayne.
Boy, I don't know.
I tried to avoid all this, but I can't.
I just gotta know. We're gonna try to love each other.
Stop the press.
What's the name of Batman's, like, servant guy?
Alfred.
Can you imagine if Bird was Alfred?
Serge. Alfred. Can you get my bat? Can you get the Batmobile ready for me?
Boy, I don't know.
Okay, I'm alive.
Can you get the Batmobile ready for me? Huh?
So there ain't no dames around.
What'd you want, pie? Here's some pie. All right. Rich, it's a movie that was called Birds of Prey.
Mm-hmm.
It's an all-female cast. Boo!
Well, at least the leads are all female.
Yeah, well, I mean, come on. There's got to be a dude in there to, you know, make it good.
You would think so, yeah. So that movie, Suicide Squad, that came out was universally panned. Most people thought it was awful, except for Margot Robbie's character, which was Harley Quinn. And I thought she was good, too. I thought she did a good job in it. One of the few things about that film that made it a little bit redeemable. So they basically said, let's scrap everything having to do with this except her. And so magically in the follow-up they said, oh yeah, I guess she broke up with the Joker. You don't want Jared Leto, you can just stay home. We don't really need you.
Another shot to the heart.
We don't really need you anymore. Yeah. In this, did they in any way try to monopolize on the Joker movie that just came out? Like, was there any kind of reference to that movie? So it's a completely different universe where the Joker is the Jared Leto douchebag Joker, the Juggalo Joker, which he was. Okay. All right, so
I have metal teeth.
So if there's two things that we know about this movie. One, it has the word Bird in it, which is, of course, like Bird. And the other thing that we also know is that Bird, not a big fan of women in movies.
No, not a big fan.
Or broadcasting.
Right. Or anything. keep them in the kitchen, as he says.
Even though we have learned that he's totally into letting his girlfriend call all the shots and kick his ass.
Well, he has said, I'm not positive he knew what he was saying, but he went into great detail that he is enjoys being dominated.
He does. So it's kind of a weird thing. Like, he's not a fan of like, women in power.
Maybe he
except
feels,
it's unless it's his girlfriend.
Maybe he feels that the more negative things he says about women, the harsher the physical punishment will be.
Fred, that is as solid as a theory as I can think of. So that I thought that was
as a matter of fact, I still got it in me.
Maybe you do there, Bird. Maybe it's being controlled by remote right now.
I forgot.
Sure. Yes. So let's go ahead and get into this. Bird goes last night to the movies, see the new Birds of Prey film. Margot Robbie as the girlfriend of the Joker, and Nick was there to record it.
Spit it out, Nicholas.
All right. What's your name?
Bird.
Can we use this for the Raya?
Duh.
What movie did we just see?
Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey, and other words that I don't want to put out there right now.
If you had to guess what the actual title was.
I don't remember. I don't care. Just ask me another question, please.
You seem really pissed.
Boy, he is not having this.
Came out firing.
Too many dames.
Wow. Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say he didn't like this film. I don't know. I don't, you know, spoil the ending, but I'm going to guess he did not like this film. There better not be any spoilers. Audience is going to attack us. You ruined Birds of Prey.
Ask me another question, please.
You seem really pissed off.
I am.
Why?
I was expecting more from the movie. I wouldn't see it in the theater. I would see it if it came on demand.
Okay. Why is that?
I don't think...
Okay. That's when his girlfriend turned on the electronics.
Like that Houston Astros buzzer underneath his clothes.
Play that, Fred. Let's take a listen. Maybe we can hear something there.
In the movie theaters.
No, that's when the nipple clamps.
That's the buzz you hear.
Yeah, that's the nipple clamps. She starts buzzing them.
I
Oh, are you going to get humiliated tonight, my friend?
Man.
Stop by my house. What have you in the crate?
I don't think it's good enough to in the movie theaters. This has nothing to do with women. I just didn't like how the
I was just going to ask that. I was just going to ask it.
The actors were good.
Does it have
They're decent. No, it has nothing to do with it. It's an all female cast. Okay, I like Black Widow too. All right? It has nothing to do with that. Don't go down that angle.
Okay.
I am so mad. Why am I mad?
I don't know.
I'll tell you why I'm mad, because I thought we were supposed to be an icon. We're here at Arch what? What's it called? Arch Theater?
Arch Light.
And I couldn't find friggin' parking. There's a Celtics game going on. Not hating on the Celtics, but
How did you go to the wrong theater? Like, didn't you get an email that said what theater it was going to be at?
I didn't check the email. I took Nick's word. We're going to Icon. That's my fault.
But you had an email.
I know. I didn't look.
It's Arclight.
Nick, why do you have your hand raised?
It is his fault.
It's Nick's fault.
It's a pain in the ass to find parking. That's why.
You're, like, in my face right now.
Sorry. I'll back up.
Okay, back up. Yep. Who stars in this movie?
Maggie Robbie. Is that her name? No.
Who
it's
else?
It's not. Guy who was the villain. I forget his name. The British actor was the main villain in this movie.
Okay.
Oh, good. Well, that settles it. It's the British actor. The one British actor.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Mr. Bean.
McVillain.
Now, that I would go see. Mr. Bean was the villain in this.
Somebody said that noise a bird made sounds like turtles having sex.
Yeah, it does, actually.
It sounds like someone enjoying a good dousing of pain.
Somebody said, why does bird sound like Tony Romo?
Okay. Paint a picture. What happens in this movie?
Harley Quinn and the Joker break up. Harley Quinn's trying to find herself on her own. And she gets involved in it.
She's got these three great friends. They're all over New York. It's their foibles of dating. No, that's Sex in the City. Same difference.
They get involved in it?
Yeah.
What?
Mischief.
It.
Runs into a few bumps in the road. She teams up with a few women, become a superpower women's group. You know.
Does that bug you?
No, it doesn't bother me at all.
Seems like it bugs you.
No, it doesn't bother me at all. I thought the movie could have been a lot better. There's just poor effort in that movie. That's all. They just made the movie just to make it.
Would you say it would be a lot better if it starred guys?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm looking forward to Black Widow.
Okay.
She's a leading female.
That's What's all. Her name?
Black Widow?
Yeah.
Charlotte Johansson.
Okay, great.
Nailed
Excuse
it again.
Me. Just burped.
In my face.
I didn't burp in your face. I covered my mouth. You still smell it, can you?
Yeah.
You spill the tear tots?
Yeah.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah.
Getting gum?
Just keep on going. I want to go home.
All right. That's all you got. The movie ended, you know, all the women standing. It was okay.
How many Everett
Street... Stop it, stop it. I need that on the poster. The movie ended, a lot of women standing.
Yep.
And then maybe underneath it you can put... That in the quotes on the movie poster.
It ended, a lot of women standing. One was sitting.
The movie ended, you know, all the women standing. It was okay.
How many Everett Street parties do you give this?
2 out of 5.
2 out of 5?
I told you, I wouldn't see this movie in the theater.
Who was the slamming slew banger?
The one with the girl that sings. She was a slamming slew banger. She was named Bird. That was pretty cool. She was a slamming slew banger. Obviously, Maggie Robbie is a slamming slew banger. Rosie Perez lost a step or two, but she was hot back in the day. She was very hot back in the day. Rosie Perez. Which Remember White Man Can Jump? That was the boyfriend.
Close.
But listen, when you're involved in like birds in bird sex life, who knows? Everything is general neutral.
Hey guys, spoiler alert for White Man Can't Jump. It is a crying game type situation. You
She was in the movie.
She
was there.
He was in the movie, apparently.
Rosie Perez lost a step or two, but she was hot back in the day. She was very hot back in the day. Rosie Perez. Which Remember White Man Can't Jump? That was the boyfriend.
Yes, sir.
Stop the press. Stop the press. Who is that?
I mean, Maggie Robbie.
Is that her name?
You know, all the women standing. It was okay.
I need a mock-up poster, and I need it now.
I'm trying to avoid all this, but I can't.
All right. Michael Gorman is going to be joining us in just a moment. There you go.
Rosie Perez lost a step or two, but she was hot back in the day. She was very hot back in the day. Rosie Perez. Which remember White Man Can Jump? That was the boyfriend.
Sports Hub. Oh, you
know. Tatum, jump pass, Jaylen Brown.
Oh! In
traffic! Big time! Violent right hand slam on Michael Carter Williams. Jason Tatum threaded the needle, and then Jaylen Brown stabbed the dude with it.
Oh my God! Give me two bags of Cheetos!
Can you really stab someone with a needle? It's more like a brick. Yeah.
Pulp Fiction.
Multiple times. Ultimately will cause
a minor annoyance?
Yeah.
Okay.
It would be like that scene, John Candy in Wally World. That could get under the skin and cause quite a rash. Yeah.
Well, that was a BB gun bullet.
Yeah.
John Candy, not funny. How do you like that?
Hot take.
Yep. Coming out of the box, steaming.
Uncle Buck was funny.
No.
He was great in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I hate that movie. It's
depressing. I love that movie. That's one of my favorite comedies.
I liked Uncle Buck, too.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is a top five comedy.
It's depressing. It's shot in, like, just cold and gray and
dark. But that adds to the tension
Steve Martin's building, so he loses it. You know what the point of Hamilton is to rap to Hamilton, and I hate it.
We're comparing Planes, Trains, and Automobiles
to Hamilton? No, just because something is the point of something doesn't mean that I can't dislike
it. But it's building the tension. It's all leading up to Steve Martin losing his mind.
I'm sorry, you can't dislike that.
They had to be in the back of that truck.
If he is that upset, why is he not killing himself?
That's a t-shirt.
I hadn't thought of that.
I mean, I'm so upset, but I'm not going to kill myself.
Right. Did you die? It's like that.
We just got to open our minds, man. That's our problem.
That's right. Mike Gorman is the voice of the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Mike Gorman.
Where does Spaceballs fit in? Anyone?
Does not stand up.
I am just now introducing my kids to Spaceballs, and there are... I mean, you forget how many unbelievably bad groaner jokes there are in that movie. Just like so bad.
I played it for my kids too, and they left the room like 5 minutes into it.
And then
Oh yeah,
my kids actually liked it because I think they liked it because I'm sitting there just laughing at how bad some of the jokes were.
Yeah, my kids a big Citizen Kane fan. They're like Chinatown. All right.
Before we get off movies here, what did you guys see? 17?
1917?
Yeah.
Oh no, I have not. I heard it's awesome. Did you get to see it?
Yes, definitely go see it. Okay. Definitely go see it. It's one of those movies you're emotionally drained. You don't talk for about the first 3 minutes after you walk out of the movie.
Because you see a lot of movies. Is that the best one you saw this year?
Yes, but I haven't seen Parasite. My wife was like you. She's seen Parasite. And she thinks it's the best movie she's seen in 5 years.
That's a really good flick. It's good. I don't think it's better than Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but it's really good. You'll like it.
Yeah, 17 is. Did either of you guys ever read or see the movie? The movie version wasn't that good. Cormac McCarthy's book, The Road.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. That is one of the most disturbing books and movies I've ever read or seen.
Right. And when you're reading the book, you feel like if you stop reading, they're going to die.
Yep.
You know, you kind of get the responsibility for the character.
Is that the guy and his kid? 17.
Oh yeah, where it's the end of the world and they're just trying to get to the ocean because they hear there's other survivors there, but there's cannibals trying to eat them the entire time.
Yeah. Well, that's the same thing that happens in 17. You become emotionally attached to the character, and you're trying to get through this with him. And I tell you come out of that movie and you feel like you've run a marathon.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm working my way through Chicken Soup for the Soul. And let's just say I've been feeling good about myself. Mike Gorman. Okay.
Nice segue there. That's good. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I was just clowning around. Mike, I was excited yesterday. I watched the broadcast. I saw Romeo Langford. I liked that pick. He was a phenomenon in high school. He had hurt his thumb at Indiana. He played through that. Some believe that if he had not played through that, he would have been a top five pick. And his athleticism is off the charts. What did you think of him last night? Were you impressed by
first start? Yeah,
I want to see more. I want to see more minutes. Tommy's really sold on him. Tommy's thinks he's great already.
Tommy's sold on a Celtic.
Yeah.
Has he ever said this guy sucks?
It's a guy wearing green, right?
No, you're right. They don't. But but yes, it was good to see him get an opportunity to start. I think he's going to get a lot more minutes as time goes by. These injuries with quotation marks around them are interesting, and I think they're going to probably be long lasting. We're going to see guys get rested in the second half of the season here.
Well, they seem everywhere. To be doing fine.
Not just in Boston, everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to be doing okay. Well, if you remove a part, I mean, last night there was no Kemba, no Marcus Smart. But, I mean, when you got Jason Tatum scoring 33 points and Jaylen Brown playing as well, and God, Gordon Hayward, my guy. I mean, this is the best stretch he's ever had as a Celtic. It's almost like scoring-wise, it's an embarrassment of riches. But the thing that we were talking to Chris Forsberg yesterday about is it's a little scary when you see how well this team is playing. And it's almost like, don't you feel that you owe those guys, at least those four that I was mentioning, to have somebody who can belly up to Giannis Antetokounmpo or Joel Embiid in a series? I know that Tice and Enes Kanter have done an admirable job, but I don't think that's enough in seven games.
Well, so what do you – Capella's gone, obviously, to Atlanta. If you were thinking a big, who are you thinking about?
Well, Drummond.
Andre Drummond?
Yeah, for a while he was kind of – the hot and heavy prospect or guy that they were talking about making a trade for.
I haven't heard any word on Drummond. It's all Morris now out of Detroit.
Well, no. I'm saying 3 weeks ago,
yeah,
his name was out there, but it's kind of died down with Drummond.
Yeah, because I think the asking price was too high from Detroit's point of view. I'm kind of in favor. If we can get Robert Williams back and he's healthy, then I think this idea of having three centers, three guys who you can play that gives you 18 fouls you can use on Embiid or whoever else you want to use them on. You have a different skill set by each player, or each of those three guys that the other team has to try to compensate for defensively, as opposed to just having one guy out there and he's your five and he's out there the whole time. I like this committee aspect of it better. And I think actually there's a few conversations I've had with him about it. I think Brad likes it better. Not Capella, forget the name of any one player. I think he likes the concept of having three guys who play one position that he can mix and match.
Does that work? I mean, I know that, we've seen some evidence of it being successful, but I just don't know, especially, the Bucks have a really good coach, too. And if you take a look at what they'd probably be able to do in seven games, I just don't know if that's not something that you could figure out and find a way around.
Well, I can tell you what nobody seems to be talking about, but I think would be the realistic look at this is the one common trait that these three guys who are playing the five has. They don't want to shoot the ball. Kanter's not looking for the ball. Tice is not looking for the ball. He'll shoot it if they leave him up wide open, but he's not demanding the ball. Williams certainly is not going to be demanding the ball. So it allows you to make the maximum use of Brown and Tatum and Gordon and let them go play their games without worrying about getting the five involved. Where if you bring in a Drummond or you bring in a Capella, this guy is going to come in and expect to see the ball in his hands a lot. I think that just messes up what is really a very good chemistry this team has right now.
And, I know that the Celtics have done well against the Miami Heat, but they made a move last night that I think might be underrated.
Huge.
It's huge. I just think that Andre Iguodala is a guy that's just got winner genes in his body. This guy is he's everything that you want in a sixth man.
I don't know what I call him.
What's that?
Sassoon.
Because he's got winner genes. That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. How big of a move is that? And does that kind of? I mean, does that make them a better team now than the Celtics? I know that they've kind of been able to handle him fairly well, even with guys out. But what do you think of that move?
I think it makes them a little more legitimate.
Yeah.
I think they were very good to begin with, but people didn't know who these Robinsons of the world were who were making them good. Now, if Iguodala gets into that mix, he's a guy who will defend They become better defensively. They're already a good defensive team. Now they become a whole lot better defensively. And, you know, Iguodala will run to the corner, and if they throw him the ball, he'll shoot it. If they don't, he'll run back and play defense. At this point in his career, he's not looking to score points. He's looking to win. And, yeah, I thought, Rich, they weren't making much of this deal at all last night. The things I was reading, I'm saying, wow, this makes Miami, like, a whole lot better.
Yeah.
A whole lot better.
Mike, I wanted to get your opinion on Philadelphia because it ties in with Al Horford. Philadelphia got two bench players last night as well. Gallinari is not official yet, but it should be today. And it looks like on the surface that's going to help that team a lot because they have a great starting five and no bench. But Al Horford said something interesting yesterday, said there's problems going on in our locker room that we have to fix. In what world does Al Horford not fit into the chemistry of a team?
I hear Simmons and Embiid don't particularly like each other and don't enjoy playing with each other. That's what I hear. But, certainly the times I watch them on TV when they're not in Philadelphia, they don't look like they want to play together. Embiid, I thought, was absent from the game in Boston a week ago. Completely.
He does that. Yeah. I mean, he's had scoreless games.
But he doesn't in the playoffs. Like, that's the only thing.
That's the one worry. But if the chemistry is like this, you got to figure the Celtics are overwhelming favorites.
Yeah, you would think they would be, especially with the home court advantage, because Philly obviously can't win on the road. I just don't think Philly's that good. I think they're probably a 5 or 6, maybe even go as low as 7 before this is all said and done.
Wow.
Although I don't think you want to play them in the first round. You know, that 2 spot is really, really valuable, because if you get that 2 spot, you get one of the lesser teams that makes the playoffs, obviously, whoever gets the 7th seed. And you also avoid Milwaukee till the Eastern Conference Final. That's huge. You don't want to see Milwaukee. Now, I know Coach and some of the other people say, well, we're going to have to beat them eventually, so what's it matter? It matters. Get to the Eastern Conference Finals and face them there as opposed to the semifinals.
You're obviously spending a lot of time around this team and watching them on the sidelines. This is a team that enjoys being around each other. I read that article. Did you read the one that came out in Slam Magazine where, you know, they talk about the – you know, that once again, they go into the chemistry. And I know it's easy to say that when a team's winning, they're having fun and they have chemistry. But this does seem different. And maybe it's just because we're coming off of the bad taste in our mouth that Kyrie Irving left in the locker room. Does this just seem different?
Oh, it's night and day.
Yeah.
Night and day. You know, guys get on the bus, they're happy. They if you're sitting there, they put a fist out to bump or they tap you on the head as they walk by. There's a real feeling of togetherness. It just was not there. Was not there at all last year. Last year it was 25 guys, 25 caps. This year, guys do stuff together. They've made it a point of organizing different. I have something, but an alarm going off here, and I don't have any idea what it is.
Okay. Hopefully, it's no one breaking into your home.
No, no.
Do you want us to call the police?
No. I'm good.
Okay.
That was a watch alarm. So it's telling me to get up to get the phone when you guys call.
Okay.
Well, it's too good that was right on time.
Yeah, I know. I was just thinking the same thing. I'll have to check that system. But anyway, I don't think Philly's that good. I don't think they're going to get better. I agree with you. Embiid will be more intense in the playoffs, but I don't think you can flip the switch on and off. And despite the moves that they're making, I don't think they have the outside shooting that they need to win.
Oh, finally, do you like the Markieff Morris rumor? Getting Marcus's brother here. I know that there's talk about possibly him being a trade. Potential for the Celtics.
There's like 8 teams.
Yeah, I don't know what Danny is looking for.
Bench scoring. I would think it's bench scoring. Don't you think that's what he wants?
Yeah, I would
too. Yeah.
Okay. I'll give you one name, Alec Burks.
How about Evan Turner? What has happened to Evan Turner? He's gained about 20 pounds.
Yes, he has. He came running up and gave me a hug the other night in Atlanta, and as he pulled back, I realized there were no wrinkles in the uniform. It was like,
Evan Turner's big.
His body now matches his voice.
Yeah.
Yes,
a meatwad.
A great kid, though. I tell you, a great kid.
Of course.
I mean, when you're looking to do interviews, you just go to Evan. He'll fill up your notebook.
Hey, all right there, Mike Grumman. Good to see you, man. I haven't seen you in a while, though. But let me give you a big old hug.
Don't make fun of my voice, man.
All right. Now, has Brad Stevens ever gotten mad at you?
No.
Okay. I'm going to play you a little bit of Grandy, and I'm kind of starting this at a random place. But I don't. And just tell me if you think Brad Stevens.
This was from Monday.
Is legitimately mad at Grandy.
Obviously, every number can be skewed any which way that you want it. And the
gotta
question
have
is.
Something to talk about.
Well, and I think. Right.
I don't know what it is. It's just we've played seven games. We've been fortunate to win six. We played pretty well together. I think that sometimes all that stuff gets overblown. I do think that we've been very aggressive.
And it's been a different look, obviously, a lot of nights, and this will be another one here tonight without you haven't had a game without Kemba and Marcus Smart at the same time.
We haven't? Is that right?
Well, you know what? It has probably been every combination of games between the two. But now, all of a sudden, obviously, Tremont Waters is here, and he's going to play a lot. So before we get to the combinations of players you have and haven't had this year.
He is.
You're right. I am drawing that into conclusion. Okay. I'm saying we're going to see him at the very least.
You haven't. Emailed me the minute sheet for tonight.
The only thing I can control is whether or not we discuss him right now, which we're going to. Whether or not you, out of spite, don't play him
I would control what you can control.
All right. So is he legitimately mad?
A little pissed off, maybe. Yeah.
Okay. So. You can confirm that maybe he was a little salty.
Well, Brad does every day. He goes out there and gets asked questions, some often the same questions in the same session, let alone the same ones every week. By the time you get 50, 60 games into the schedule, which is what we're getting 50 plus right now, everybody's a little short.
Right.
Everybody's heard this question 1,000 times before. The thing that I find Brad fascinating to watch him do is Sean was trying to ask a question built on some assumptions that Brad wasn't buying the assumptions. And I think he gets tired of people doing that. So he just decided to attack Sean on the very basics.
That
was good.
Yeah. Cause Grandy, I could imagine being annoying cause he like makes up his own statistics and like does all that. And if you're presented with that information, you're probably like, oh Jesus, I'm coaching the team. Leave me alone.
Yeah. Well, Sean takes leaps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Takes leaps. Yep. And what Brad was doing was just pulling out the safety net.
There you go.
And by the way, Alec Burks was one of the guys who was traded this morning. So it was like late last night.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
He's going
to the Sixers. Yeah.
Philadelphia got both him and Glenn Robinson last night.
Oh, did they? Oh, well. Well, Burks will help him. Burks can score. Glenn Robinson, I don't know about him. He just played the game. Who's he playing with? Atlanta? Who is he with?
He was at Golden State.
With Glenn Robinson. Oh, Golden State.
Yeah, they sent 3 second-round picks to Golden State for those two guys.
Wow. Okay. Well, we'll see.
All right.
We'll see. I just hope we don't do anything to disturb the chemistry of this team. Because, again, we saw it last year. We saw what a team with great chemistry could do 2 years ago. And then those same guys with bad chemistry were awful. Right. And now those same guys, again, are great again. Can you put your finger on chemistry, why it's there, who's responsible for it? No. But when it's there, it's obvious, you see it, and you do everything you can to preserve it, because once you lose it, it's very hard to get back.
All right, Mike Gorman. Of NBC Sports Boston. Thank you so much for the time.
All right, Tommy, being Tommy tomorrow night. Oh, by the way, did you guys watch quickly? Trey Young is off the charts.
He's
one of those guys that you pay to watch play. He really is off the charts.
I like how they teach it at youth level now, half-court shots.
I know. He has unlimited range.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And like LeBron, when he first came into the league, everybody says, wow, 30 points a game, 30 points a game. His best skill is his passing ability. He makes passes that are just Maravich-like. They're just brilliant. He's a really good player for a kid who's 5'10", weighs about 150 pounds.
Yeah, that was the book on him coming out, if he was big enough, his size. All right, Mike Gorman, you can watch all that action coming up tomorrow night. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
Okay, guys, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, see you, man.
There you go, Mike Gorman. We will be back. Here are the headlines. Nani at 5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Nick and I are trying to rationalize that the Chip Chipperson podcast is coming back. We're trying to look for clues.
Oh, so it's all a ruse that they're doing.
Well, there's
this
no doubt he doesn't want to do it, but we're trying to figure out if he's contractually obligated to do it.
Okay,
he's still doing cameos as Chip. So this is discussions that we have off the air. All right, Rich. Everyone's gone Mookie Betts crazy.
This trade, by the way, isn't even official. And I love the report that the parties have not even been made aware of the trade yet. And as I was saying earlier, boy, Mookie's going to be so surprised today.
They're all illiterate and don't have televisions.
So, I mean, a lot of it has to do with the medical stuff. And it was kind of funny. Jared Karabas yesterday was the first one to tweet out something like, boy, it sure would be a shame if there was some sort of complications with the medical test for each of these players. And that was way before anybody else. And, of course, all these eye emojis came out. But, you know, Alex Verdugo, he passed. He's been cleared medically. But, unfortunately, it looks like Brustar Graterol, am I saying that right? The hefty
Brustar
gentleman.
Brustar Graterol, yes.
Okay, so this is so fantastic because the way that the Red Sox are phrasing their surprise about this is fantastic. This is from The Athletic. They said, after viewing the medical records of Brustar Graterol, the Red Sox found some red flags that project him more as a reliever than as a starter. And to that I say, are they the only people in America that thought that that guy was going to be a starter? Because everywhere else I read, everyone said that his ceiling was that he was going to be a reliever.
The ceiling was he would be a second or third starter. The floor would be he would be a 100-mile-an-hour setup man.
And I'm wondering if this is a kind of a renegotiation. If they go, well, we're not great. We're not sure about these guys' medicals.
After seeing the public outcry over their return, we'll use this,
which is fantastic,
to try and improve their
because
position.
They could, right?
Yeah, I mean,
theoretically, yes.
We were talking about this because I was like, John, what was the case where something like this happened recently with the Red Sox? And you were right. It was Drew Pomeranz. They made a trade for him. The medical stuff wasn't as where they wanted it to be. And
Preller, the GM for San Diego, withheld the medicals that showed that it was a problem with Pomeranz.
That's what it was.
Until after the deal was consummated.
So they tried to get more after the deal was essentially done, and they didn't get anything, did they?
No.
Okay.
No, but the deal was done.
Okay. The deal is essentially done here.
It's essentially done, but the paperwork has not been.
So do you see the Dodgers going, all right, well, I guess just keep Mookie Betts?
No.
Of course not. They have the Red Sox by the balls right now. No, they don't have to give him anything.
Well, say the Red Sox don't want that prospect.
Yeah. That means Kenta Maeda, pitcher, already went to Minnesota. So now the Dodgers would have to rework that deal on that end or take Maeda back and give the Red Sox a prospect out of their own
system.
So
what if, once again, the Dodgers and the Twins both go, no?
Then I don't think the deal happens.
Okay, so Mookie Betts comes back.
Yes.
It's all off. That will never happen in a million years.
I don't think it's going to happen, but I mean, there is an option there where they could call off the deal. I mean, it happens.
And they would never do it. A deal this big, there's no way they would ever call it off over this.
You say a deal this big, but it's not, they didn't get a haul
for
in
a
return.
Player this big. Like, are you telling me that it would even
it's
be
a one-year
conceivable?
Deal. It's a one-year deal.
For Mookie Betts.
I understand it's Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts, who I'm not, I think there's like five other guys in baseball that I would pay more money.
But in a situation like the Dodgers, where they've gotten to the World Series in consecutive years and lost.
Yes.
I mean, yes. However, you know, sign stealing, they'd say they were cheated out of it, whatever the point may be. This guy, they acquired this guy to put them over the top.
Sure.
So I think they would never say no.
Right,
I think they would absolutely, even though it's a one-year rental in theoretical terms, they could always
sign
him.
My point was arguing with Rich about if there was a chance that the Red Sox could call off the trade, which there absolutely could be.
Red Sox could do it, yes.
But they never will.
But they won't.
No, you can't do that.
Well, what if they look at the medicals and they go, this guy's screwed up. We don't believe in his longevity.
But they knew about his history. The world knew about his history.
Put it this way. The Red Sox might say no to this deal, but that won't preclude them from making the deal for Betts to the Dodgers.
Okay, no, but what I'm saying is, Rich said there's no way they can pull out of the deal. Now, if this isn't going to happen. And there's a 99% chance this doesn't happen. But if they go, this guy's medicals, we don't want him.
We got burned once before.
We're not going to do this. And the Dodgers say, all right, go. Or the Dodgers go, here, and they offer some a piece that they don't think is worthy. I mean, it's very possible that the Red Sox could say no. Well, now, that's not going to happen.
No,
it's because not. The Dodgers want Mookie Betts, and they, you know, they'll throw in another, you know, middling prospect, like their number six prospect, and then the Red Sox will take him.
And I think it's more about cash. They're probably going to try to get some cash back. I mean, they sent a lot of money that, towards the Dodgers. I don't know how. Or yeah, that's, although you're that's right, with the third too. Team, I don't know how it's going to work.
And
but,
that's possible, too. They could ask for money back on the price.
But right? this was pretty great yesterday, too, because all the people were trying to defend the Mookie Betts trade. We're all saying he didn't want to be here. He was going to leave anyway. As I said, despite there not being one quote from Mookie indicating anything of the sort. So now you got Jim Rice, who, while speaking to MLB Network yesterday, said that he had spoken to Mookie since the trade. And here's what he had to say.
But I talked to Mookie last night, and even when I was doing Ness, and I asked him about it, he came out and said, look, he said, this is my home. I don't want to go anyplace else. He said, I don't care what people have said or what they're talking about. This is my home. I want to stay here. And then I talked to him last night. He said, look, he said, I'm going to tell you. He said, and I told you before, I wanted to stay, but, you know, and he said it was a business deal. And he said, I can't do anything about it. It was a business deal. And they chose to go that way, and I have to accept it. And that's what he said.
If the Red Sox offer him the most money in the most years, he would have taken it.
That's what he said.
That's right. Once again, there's a difference between someone wanting to get paid market value and someone, quote, not wanting to be here.
Right. But the bottom line is that if someone offered him $50 more in the Red Sox, he would have gone to where the $50 was.
Oh, by the way, Shaughnessy is on a rampage. Anyone who says that Shaughnessy he's a shill for the Red Sox hasn't read him ever.
No way.
He's enjoying this.
The baseball's the only thing he cares about.
Yeah, and he has gone. So yesterday
The only sport he truly cares about is baseball.
It's true, and he hates this. And he's been ripping on ownership. As a matter of fact, he just tweeted this out yesterday. John Henry to me on January 11th. The focus on the CBT resides with the media far more than it does with the Sox. You seem to think that Heim was brought in to reduce payroll. That is simply not the way that FSG operates. We try to act responsibly so as to be consistently competitive. He just threw that out there because he keeps receipts of them calling out the media that it was the media's creation that they wanted to cut payroll.
Yeah.
And so Dan Shaughnessy's like, oh, yeah? Here's the quote. Here's exactly what you said to me. Try to explain that right now. After what's happened, you try to tell me that exactly what you told me isn't 1,000% true.
He opens up the door to his boss's office and said, you know what? You suck. And then closes the door.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
I mean, what are they going to do, fire him? He's been there for 4,000 years. So, listen, I don't disagree with, I mean, you know, the Dodgers did kind of the same thing. The Yankees kind of did some of the same thing. But, you know, if you think he's worth what does everyone think he's going to get?
Oh, it's not going to be probably like 380 or something like that.
Yeah, somewhere between
420 and 330.
I wouldn't pay him that money.
He's going to get it though.
He's going to get it.
He's going to get it from somebody.
He's going to get it. I wouldn't pay it to him. I wouldn't give him the money.
I think let's say just in theory it'll be 10 years.
Sure.
10 years. He's in his late 20s. 10 years takes into his age 37 season. I think he can be good for at least 7 or 8 of those years.
Okay, I don't like a guy his size.
I understand your theory, but I think this kid is special.
You think he's going to hit for power?
I think in today's day and age, everyone hits for power. But relatively speaking to his position, he'll probably fade when he gets to 33 or 34 like everybody else. But he is a 30-30 threat who's a gold glover and can hit 300.
Right.
And I keep telling you that there are maybe two other guys in the majors that are like that, Trout and maybe Yelich, and that's it.
And there's teams that have won the World Series that have not invested that much into a player.
Sure.
So I don't know if Mookie Betts is the guy that I want. And then it also hampers you from doing other things. I mean, you need to grow, and I know he's homegrown, but Dombrowski just completely emptied your farm system. I mean, you actually, you know, it's not a popular sentiment, but you need a farm system. You have to reset.
We talked about this earlier. That theory is fine, Fred, but you have to hit a home run on a deal like this. You can't get two guys that are just, oh, okay, yeah. You know, they're average major league players. Verdugo can hit sixth or seventh in your order, and this guy Gratterall will be a setup guy. Yeah. You need Verdugo to be really good, and you need Gratterall to be a starting pitcher for you for this to work.
Plus, you also got Price out of your hair. So, I mean, that's I think that's a bonus in this, too. I think they wanted Price getting the hell out of here.
You think?
Yeah. I think when they picked up that much money, they were saying,
yeah,
you know, we don't particularly want you on this team anymore.
I would agree.
Yep. Yeah. So I think part of this deal is going, wouldn't it be funny if they signed Mookie Betts after next season? There you go.
Yankees did that with Chapman. Got Gleyber Torres in the trade for the from the Cubs, and Gleyber Torres is a fantastic player.
Yes.
And then they went and re-signed Chapman after he became a free agent.
No, I don't think they're going to do that, nor should they, but...
If they signed him... So they basically missed out on like a cheap year for Mookie Betts or a discount year.
Yeah, that's
year.
Right. We're going to give it, we're going to give away the $27 million. We're going to pay you $35 next
sure.
year.
No, but you know, but if they got something in return and then they can turn around and they're resetting. That's what they're doing right now. I mean, that's what you have to do after Dombrowski.
As I said, that's great. It just depends.
By the
on
way,
how
they're
these
getting off
do.
Easy. If you look at what happened in Detroit. I mean, Detroit signed Cabrera to like a 45-year deal.
Yeah.
They just got rid of Victor Martinez. They had Scherzer, Verlander.
Price.
Price was a rental. They had Scherzer.
But, I mean, they had all okay, those guys.
No, but they had Porcello, yep. Scherzer, and Verlander all under contract.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't win.
No,
but I mean, the Red Sox are lucky they're not stuck with.
And they're also lucky. The thing that makes them different from Detroit is, although they have nothing in the farm system, they have three or four good young hitters.
Yes,
if you believe Benintendi will bounce back, but Devers and Bogarts in the middle of that order.
Yes,
for under control for at least 4 years apiece.
And Bogarts on a team friendly deal, so you got that going. All right, we'll take it to 9, baby, on the Sports Hub.
Dutcher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.